And welcome back to Vocation Station. This is Father Alfredo Hernandez, the Rector President of St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Boynton Beach. And it is good to be with you during this Easter season. And with me today is Pete Osteen, a seminarian of the Diocese of Charleston. Pete is in his third year of theology. Now we call it the configuration stage, preparing for his ordination of the diaconate before too long. And we'll get a little bit into Pete's story and kind of the history here at our seminary. And he and several of his classmates really are history making, but we'll get into that. Pete, tell us a little about yourself and your vocation story, your family, starting with your family story and how you ended up here.
Well, Father, thanks for having me on the show. This is a real honor. I don't think I've ever been on a podcast before, so this is pretty neat. Like Father said, I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, which is in the foothills of upstate South Carolina. It's in the northwest part of the state, up near Clemson University, right between North Carolina and Georgia. I was born there. I've grown up there. My dad, he's been there for a while. He was actually born in Kentucky and moved because of his dad's job. And my mom, she's actually from Croatia. She's from Croatia, and she moved here. She moved to Greenville in the 80s. For a short time, she had an uncle who was involved with Michelin Tires, which has its headquarters, North American headquarters in Greenville. And that's where they met, and they got married, and they've lived there ever since. So our family, we've been settled in Greenville. I've got four brothers, so there's five of us, five boys. We put our parents through a pretty hard time growing up, to say the least. And yeah, we grew up Catholic, went to Mass every week. My mom, especially being from Croatia, she was really in a sense like the rock of the faith for our family. And my dad was too, but my mom especially, she was really good at teaching us and encouraging us to go to Mass and go to confession on a pretty regular basis. I'd say every other couple months, and so we were good Catholics, all things considered.
And then as you were growing up there, was the vocation to the priesthood something that was in your mind, in your heart as you were growing up, or is that something that came as a surprise later?
It was not really at all, I'd say. Actually, I'm recalling this story. I remember I was probably in 7th grade, maybe 8th grade, and it was a weeknight, and I remember my mom, she heard that the bishop was in town, and he was going to be at one of the neighboring parishes for confirmation, and she really wanted to go. And so I think I was in trouble for something. So
you got elected?
Yeah, my mom recruited me to go with her. And I remember we went to this church. We went to St. Anthony's. The bishop was there. And I'm sitting towards the back. And this is our previous bishop, Bishop Robert Guglielmone. And he starts walking around with his crozier during the homily. And he gives this pitch about vocations to the priesthood. And I could tell how the homily was going. He starts walking around. I knew that he was going to call someone out. And there are all these students getting confirmed, and I was in the back. And I don't know how to put it, but every now and then you get this feeling. It's that feeling whenever you're in class and the teacher asks a question and no one's responding, and you know she's going to call on you, and she does, and you don't know the answer. I had that feeling in my stomach, and I just knew, even though I was in the back of the room and I wasn't even getting confirmed, I just knew that the bishop was, that he was going to come and call me out about this whole vocations thing. And so sure enough, he keeps on walking back, and I can remember I'm trying my best to avoid eye contact with him. trying to look normal. I'm paying attention, but I don't want to draw any attention to myself at the same time. He walks by me, he stops, and next thing I know, I can feel the crozier kind of come around my neck.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I think I heard my mom kind of gasp, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to hear the end of this. And sure enough, on the way home, my mom was like, oh my goodness, maybe you're called to be a priest. And I'm like, mom, just don't ever bring this up again. No way. Absolutely no way. This is just like a wacky coincidence. And so that happened, and I think it's funny because that's like really the only time that the thought came to me, and I just, at least I can remember it coming to me, and I pretty much rejected it. I didn't really want to have anything to do with it. And yeah, really throughout high school, I didn't ever think of the priesthood. I mean, I'd still consider myself, I was still going to mass and still even going to confession and whatnot, but it was not one of my top priorities. I was honestly, again, doing it just to keep my parents happy. And it wasn't until college, actually. I went to college, and I have a identical twin brother. We're extremely close. We kind of grew up together. Yeah, we grew up together, and obviously, and like very close. And I remember it was our first week of school. It was a Sunday. I think we missed mass our first week, and something just didn't feel right. And the second week, Jordan and I, we had this conversation. We asked ourselves, all right, are we going to try to do this, make a commitment of keep going to mass or not? And we both decided, you know, it'd probably be good just to stay balanced and keep going to mass. And so we did. We kept going to mass. And actually, I have another funny story there, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah, Jordan and I, we were part of a fraternity. And to say the least, I mean, we had a rowdy group of friends in high school, very rowdy group of friends, and all of us ended up entering the same fraternity. And I'd already at this point had several moments, not very fond moments, of getting in trouble, usually with you know, drinking involved or just kind of high school shenanigans, and it carried over into college, and it just got worse because you know, you don't have parents around. And Father, I know you were part of.
I was in a fraternity, and later I was a college administrator. So I've seen both sides.
You've seen both sides, and you kind of know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you've seen everything come in your office whenever you were
fraternity and sorority dean.
Fraternity and sorority dean, exactly. And so yeah, I actually got into trouble on several occasions, and there was one of them in particular that was pretty bad, and it involved the fraternity. And it actually got the fraternity, it got me kicked out of the fraternity house, and my twin brother was also involved in it. It got me kicked out of the fraternity house, my twin brother as well. It was just like it was a hard time. A lot of my friends, we put the fraternity at risk. It was about to get kicked off campus, and I thought it was. And so I didn't really know. Yeah, a lot of my friends, they kind of, in a sense, didn't really want to be around us anymore. And it was in the middle of the semester, so there's not really many places that are open for, you know, where you can rent a house in the middle of the semester. But we finally found one place, and it just happened to be right by the student center, the Catholic Student Center.
That's providential.
Oh, yeah, it was very providential. And so Jordan and I, we moved in there, and we actually had a couple other friends who were in trouble with us. And so they were with us. At this point, it was actually at this like really like kind of, I'd say, a low point in my life. Whenever I thought I didn't really know what was going on. I thought I might get kicked out of school. Honestly, like I didn't know what the deal was with the fraternity. It was just a low point. I started to pray the rosary. I started doing it on really a daily basis, and it kind of came just out of desperation, just because, well, yeah, I don't really know where else to go, and so. I can remember I committed myself to praying the rosary, and I made a promise to Our Lady. I said, all right, like, if you help me get out of this, like, I'll straighten out, I'll get out, like, I'll start changing my life. And I started praying the rosary, and this huge transformation in my soul really started to happen. And I don't really know how to explain it, but I just started, like, for the first time ever, like, all the stuff that I'd learned in school or in catechism classes, because I actually never went to Catholic school. I was always public school, and I went to CCD. But all the stuff I heard in CCD, all the stuff that I heard in Mass, like, it started to make sense. And for the first time ever, like, I actually believed in the Eucharist. I don't know how to say that, because I'd heard it so many times, but it just never really made sense to me. But whenever I started praying the rosary, it just started to make sense, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how much God loved me, like in the Eucharist, how much Jesus loved me. And so, that blew me away. And so I started reading scriptures, and I started reading the lives of the saints, really, and started actually going to daily mass. It was also like right next door, so that was convenient. And I also realized that although I'd prayed the Our Father thousands of times, I'd never actually meant the words, "Thy will be done." You know, I kind of had my own plan, and I thought I knew what I wanted to do with my degree and everything. I kind of thought about it in prayer one day. I was like, well, like, if Jesus loves me, he probably wants what's best for me. And if he wants what's best for me, he's God. He knows what I need to do with my life, so I'll just ask him. And so that actually became my prayer. I just started asking, like, all right, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with my life? Like, because I know this is the only thing that's going to fulfill me. The idea of priesthood, like, sort of popping into my head. And I was, like, really scared at first. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, what? What is this? Like, because I'd never really known a priest too closely. Like, I'd never known a seminarian. It was just something that was just so foreign to me. It was just really strange. And so I actually ignored it for a while, as in, you know, probably a month or so.
It kept on coming back.
It kept on coming back. I could not get it off my mind. And so we had the priest at University of South Carolina at the time. He was a beloved priest. His name was Father Marcin. He was a Polish guy, and I can remember I was pretty close to him, actually. He was one of the first priests who I'd say grew a deeper relationship with. And I went into his office, and I can remember I was so scared to have this meeting with him, and I told him, yeah, Father Marcin, I think my voice cracked as I said it, but I think God's maybe calling me to think about being a priest. and he starts cracking up, and he told me, he actually gave me some of the best advice. I mean, this is such a wise response, because I was only a sophomore at this point. He told me just to keep it to myself, keep praying about it, keep coming to Mass, continue to pray the rosary and everything, keep meeting with him, and just not to mention it to my friends, at least not yet, and just to keep it to myself. And so that's what I did, and it was very wise advice. I'm glad that I did that. And so, long story short, I continued praying about it, continued going to Mass, continued praying the rosary, and next thing I know, graduation just came around 2 years later, and it was stronger than ever. And so I visited the seminary. I was shocked by how the people in the seminary were not like I expected. Like, it actually reminded me a lot of the fraternity guys in a way. In the best ways. Like, yeah. In the sense that I remember I came here and I was like, man, these guys are like very normal. Right. Yeah, I just did not expect it. And so, visiting the seminary, it really completely sealed the deal for me. And then I applied to the diocese that spring, and then I've really been here ever since.
Well, that's a beautiful story, and certainly we've shared it along the way, but just a number of thoughts that occurred to me, maybe some threads that might be good to point out. One, that you started from a point of despair, loss of hope. The mother of hope, Mary, was key in drawing you out. The role of the Blessed Mother is certainly one that's very important. And I know you have a great devotion to her, even now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And a key factor that something else that I noticed is even you and your brother's decision to say we're going to keep on going to Sunday Mass, some things connected back to my days at the University of Florida, this is not the moment for my vocation story and my fraternity experiences, but a key element for me that I look back was that life wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect, but continuing Sunday Mass and continuing to go to confession were very important in terms of, in a sense, keeping me connected, even though might have been the leash might not have been as good as short as it should have been, but keeping that connection, knowing the way home.
Yeah.
Having the cookie crumbs, having the cookie crumbs to bring me to be able to find the way home. So it sounds like that those were two very important things for you, and that trust in a guide, having somebody to talk to, that the priest Father Marchand, who was a great source, and he was the conventual Franciscan, wasn't he?
He was just diocesan.
Okay.
He was diocesan.
But just the importance of having a spiritual director. So certainly, if one of the purposes of this program certainly is to be able to give advice to people who might be thinking about vocations or know people who might be thinking about vocations. And I think those elements of faithfulness to the sacraments, even when life isn't perfect, the importance of the Blessed Mother's role, and having someone to talk to, having the spiritual director, or at least a priest one consults with regularly, those are all really, really important elements.
Absolutely.
And I think that last point, that you get to the seminary and people are normal. And I'll be honest, we sometimes joke here that normal is an important adjective.
Yeah, it is.
Because we need to be, as priests, something that you think of the word pontiff. The word pontiff sounds real highfalutin, but pontiff just means bridge. And something Pope Francis stresses is that the priest, and he stresses it because St. John Paul II stressed it, that the priest needs to be a bridge between God and humankind and between people. And to be a bridge, one needs to be accessible. One needs to be approachable. So that's important. So your journey started here, I was counting, 6 years ago? 5 years ago?
Five years ago.
Yeah. So you are actually part of a group that is history making. You're part of the first three guys who started the pre-theology program here, which meant after college doing philosophical studies with us, and then so you had 2 years, and then now you've had 3 years of philosophy. Because of a lot of your great experiences here and in parishes, your bishop decided for you not to do the pastoral year. What's it like having been here? It's been, again, a long journey. What does it feel like now to be approaching ordination? Maybe tell us a little about your time here and then approaching ordination.
Well, I mean, to put it shortly, my time here has been extremely positive. I definitely consider it like a home. And I know every time I come back, I have that sense that I'm coming back home, like in a really real sense. And obviously, I know my home is in South Carolina, but I guess the point I'm getting at is just like how much I've really loved it here, and how welcoming it's been, how much like I've grown here, how much the Lord's been able to form me here. It's really been incredible. I'd say that coming here for the first year, I think this is a common experience that everyone has. There's definitely a lot of fear. You have no idea what you're getting into. A lot of guys are like me, where you have no idea what philosophy is. And it's not easy to get the hang of it. It took me about, I'd say, a year and a half just to sort of like enjoy philosophy. Before that, it was just almost like rewiring my brain, because I'm kind of more of a practical guy and philosophy.
What was your degree in?
Yeah, my degree was in management science. Yeah, so logistics and supply chain management and that
kind
of thing.
Pretty far from
philosophy. I never even took a philosophy class. I didn't know what it was. But yeah, it stretched me so much. Stretched me so much in so many good ways. That was one of my first, fears coming here, was just really taking a leap of faith and stepping into the unknown. But it was amazing how much, like, throughout the entire process, especially the beginning, how our Lord was always there with me, Our Lady was always there with me, always accompanying me. And also, There've been so many friends that I've made throughout the years here, especially at the beginning, who I've been able to stay in contact with, which has really made everything worthwhile. And it's been interesting to see how I've naturally like kind of developed, I'd say, in a way, from, you know, like a little brother, like to one of the younger guys, into one of the older brothers, just one of the guys like who has actually more experience. And just going through that whole process has been really, it's been beneficial for me. And I'd say, yeah, I mean, now I actually just, like a month ago, I was elected as the class, or the student body president, which is, again, it's another thing that I've never done before, like taking a leadership responsibility like this. But it's, I'd say it's in the same spirit as entering the seminary, as taking this leap of faith, trusting that our Lord's going to be here with me, our Lady, and that they're going to help guide me in this whole process. And I know it's not going to be easy, but it's part of the journey, yeah, in a way.
And actually, that was the next thing I was going to point out. It's a great sign of your being a big brother that the guys look up to. And you're 6 foot what?
6 foot three.
Okay, he's 6 foot three, so everybody looks up to him anyway. But a sign of how much the guys respect you is your election as student council president. And that's an important role in terms of providing leadership in the house and helping to set the tone of the house. And so really, that in a sense, it proves the point that you were making. And so as you, now you're looking forward to ordination. What's your ordination date in Greenville?
Yeah. So my ordination date, I was reading St. Paul the other day and he was talking about how he's an apostle, but he's abnormally born. And I'm kind of joking that I'm kind of a third theologian, abnormally born, because not only did my bishop ask me to skip the pastoral year, but I'm also not getting ordained with the other guys here at Florida. So my ordination date's in over a month. It's on May the 26th. It's a Friday. And it's in my home parish, which is extremely special. But yeah, I'm not going to be ordained with the guys this week. Which is kind of it's definitely a bummer, but it's just, again, kind of part of my journey, I guess.
And so I should mention that we're recording this in the, for it's going to be played on Friday, April 21st. Yes, this is going to be played on Friday, April 21st. And so if you're listening to it, it's on radio tomorrow at 11 a.m. will be the ordination to the diaconate of the men from Florida and one man from the Diocese of St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands that takes place in Boca Raton, St. Joan of Arc Parish. And there's live stream available on our website via our website and Facebook page. The website svdp.edu, so you can certainly catch the live stream or a recording of the live stream. And so over the last number of years, over a decade, ordinations of the diaconate have taken place with the Florida men and other dioceses that decide to do it with us here, either at the seminary or in the last number of years at St. Joan of Arc Parish in Boca Raton. And then most of the dioceses out of state, because it's a lot farther to travel and most of those bishops have decided to do the ordinations as yours will. And so, yeah, what feelings are in your heart? You're all welcome to watch our ordination and at least catch pieces of it. It's actually going to be the first time, the first ordination ever for the new bishop of St. Augustine, Bishop Pohlmeier. He's coming down to do the ordination. So that'll be a great experience. But yeah, Pete, as you're looking forward to your ordination, what's in your heart?
Well, I'd say mostly excitement. I mean, this is one of the things I've been looking forward to since I got here. And I mean, I think it's just like a testament that our Lord's been with me this entire time, that he's going to continue to walk with me. And I think it's just an obvious confirmation of all the steps I've been taking with the Lord in the past 6 or 7 years, really ever since I began this whole journey. And yeah, it hasn't been easy at all. It's been difficult, but you know, with Jesus by my side, it's, you know, you can do anything. So yeah, the ordination, I'm extremely excited about it. I know that this is really, I think, why one of the reasons I was born was to take this step, and I'm confident about it. And I'm excited really to continue to take these steps in the future, even though they're kind of scary sometimes.
Beautiful. And what can you tell us about the church in South Carolina? It's Charleston's the only diocese in the state of South Carolina, so it's a whole state. And tell us a little about your church, because I think a lot of people in Florida certainly wouldn't know much about it.
Yeah, so it's the entire state, like you said. So it's the state's about 5 million people. And according to recent statistics, it's 10% Catholic. It used to be much less. And I think a lot of that has to do with the rising Hispanic population. So we have just like down here, there's a lot of Hispanics coming into South Carolina. Most of them are Catholics. But there's a total of 93 parishes and 20 missions. So that's over the entire state. Most of our parishes are pretty small. I mean, you got a handful of bigger parishes, but I'd say our biggest parish is probably like a medium larger parish here. So they're not very big. A lot of them are out, you know, scattered in the country.
So not a lot of parishes with 3,000 or 4,000 families.
No, just a handful of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're really in a sense like mission territory. And we've just recently got a new bishop, Jacques Fabre June, who's from Haiti, first ever American bishop who's a Haitian. And he's got the missionary spirit, which is beautiful. He's from the Scalabrini Fathers. He actually spent some time here in Del Rey. So he loves our diocese. I mean, I think he's a perfect fit for that reason, because we are missionary ground in a sense. And so, yeah, that's exciting to have him here. But it's spread out diocese. I'd say it's on the rise. There's a lot of, I think the future for it's great. And so I'm excited to see I'm excited to continue to see how it's going to grow in the future.
Well, that's terrific. And one of the beauties of our seminary is that we are a regional seminary. Really, we have seminarians from a number of different dioceses, even outside of our region, but almost all the dioceses in the Southeast use us. And it's just beautiful to have that connection among priests of the Southeast. I think wherever you go as a priest later, you're going to know somebody.
Absolutely.
I think your own story already has done this, but something I'd like to finish with when I'm talking to the guys is, do you have any advice for someone who might be considering a vocation or somebody who has a family member who maybe should?
Well, I'm going to go back to JP2 and just go with do not be afraid and just go for it. Sometimes you just have to go for it. It's scary, but you just have to really take leaps of faith sometimes, even if it's something you might be afraid of. And as you continue to take steps, say yes, even in small ways, that allows our Lord to work. And so, yeah, I think it just comes down to not being afraid, trusting that our Lord's there with you, and just taking steps forward and allowing His providence to guide you throughout life, really.
Well, Pete, thank you for being with us, and please pray for Pete and all of his classmates being ordained this weekend and throughout these couple of months. God bless you all, and see you next month on Vocation Station.